From the moment in our birth, there's something inside each of us that motivates us to have the next breath, or motivates us to live out the next moment, to survive, to see what's yet to happen. And that something that's inside each one of us is hope. We're born with a certain hope inside us that speaks to our minds and our brains as we develop, to give us a drive to move on, hoping for something better as we move along that journey. Hope, by Webster's definition, is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. It's a desire accompanied by expectation. Now, that's important. It's a feeling that what is wanted will happen, a desire accompanied by expectation. Hope is what keeps the runner running. It's what keeps the painter painting. It's what makes the knitter keep on knitting, the hunter keep on hunting, the writer keep on writing, the baker keep on baking, the teacher keep on teaching, and the preacher to keep on preaching. It's hope for the next step in that process, that there's a better end, there's a positive outcome to what's taking place. In other words, we expect that certain things will happen. Now, when we say that we're expecting the worst, that's not hope. Hope doesn't have its definition in something that's negative. Hope has its definition in something that's positive. Hope is positive. All too often, hope is pessimistically defined, as the little boy defined it when he said, hope is wishing for something that you know isn't going to happen. That's not hope at all. That's wishful thinking. See? Yesterday morning, so I got up early to go out and do some goose hunting. Was up very early, as I do when I go, and went out and sat in a cornfield, a very lonely place, and set everything up as you do. I'm not going to get into that, but at any rate, I sat there with hope. It was a crisp, cold morning. I knew that it was going to be sunny in a few moments. I knew that it was good conditions to be goose hunting, that the geese were going to be flying, and I had hoped that they would be. And as usual, before everything takes place, before what's called legal shooting time, I pray. And I was praying, Lord, your word tells us that all things belong to you, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. And I'm praying this morning and trusting in you that you will send some birds my way for your glory and for our good that we can enjoy on our table. And I'm praying that you'll give me an experience that I will always remember. Help me to enjoy the morning as you present it to me. Well, I also prayed, as sometimes I often do, that he would send the birds in abundance. And lo and behold, he did. They came in abundance, but they came probably a mile or two away, and they didn't come near to where I was. But the reason I'm telling you this is because in our times like that, you get very, very down. You tend to lose hope, so you quit doing things, because they don't materialize like you think they should. But understand, in these moments, in these mornings, God has given me some of the most beautiful sunrises I've ever seen in my life. Do you folks know what it looks like when the sun rises in the east here, coming up over the hilltops of the farms out there? How beautiful it is to hear the ringneck roosters as they cackle in the morning, back and forth to each other, to see foxes play in the field, to see beautiful bucks as they come out of the cornfields to sniff my decoys. And I'm not going to tell you guys where that is. Overall, when I sit back and think about things, I don't remember the mornings that I sat there and nothing came in for me. I remember how God blessed me and made those mornings so beautiful, and how he stirred the hope in me that it isn't about, you know, him giving me what I ordered. It's about me accepting what he gives me. each time. And lo and behold, I know eventually the birds will come. They always do. I always have a good year no matter what happens, with wonderful memories, memories of God's providence. Now, as we continue to talk about being positively Christian, today we're going to be talking about staying hopeful. And that's a hard thing for Christians to do in our day and age. We're going to jump thousands of years now in our Bible, in our series, to the New Testament, speaking of the New Covenant, a covenant of hope that became the foundation of Christianity. This was not, and this is not, an empty hope. In other words, we're not saying, I have hope, therefore things are going to be good. They're going to go good. The Christian hope isn't like that. The Christian hope is an expectation that far exceeds our earthly providence, because it's not based on earthly things or earthly people. You see, that's where we become negative, when we start to base our hope on things of this world or the here and now. In 2 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen, because what's seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. In the Old Testament, the word hope implies, or it has the implication, that you're attached to something with a cord. In other words, you have hope because you have a connection with something. You're waiting in confidence and you're waiting patiently. And the word in the Old Testament, or actually there's several words for the word hope in the old ancient Hebrew language, that implies a fatness to wait. In other words, I have all the patience, I'm going to wait because I'm attached to something that's going to provide a positive outcome. In the New Testament, the word hope in the Greek is transliterated into the English, implying to anticipate something, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. So we anticipate or expect something with pleasure. Now, can I expect and anticipate something with pleasure that never shows up according to my prayers? Absolutely I can, because what I expect is not that God's going to plop something in my lap. What I expect is God is going to show me his glory in my experiences. And I'm going to see that there's a positive outcome far beyond what I ever can imagine when I get up at 4:30 in the morning. Expectation. It's about expectation. Hope is based on expectations. And here's where the problem begins for Christians. We lose hope because our expectations are not met. And oftentimes when this happens, we become downcast, as the Bible calls it. We lose hope and we declare, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Like, I guess it wasn't God's will that I didn't get that job. Or I guess God doesn't want me to do this, or God doesn't want me to have that. And that's not really true. We become downcast when that kind of stuff happens. We start to get negative and we start to say, well, God didn't want this in my life. When we lose hope, we lose motivation. We lose joy. We worry. And we become negative. Remember the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke? You remember Jesus had risen from the dead, and on that very same day, they were on the way to the village of Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside the two disciples. And he speaks to them. So Luke chapter 24. He says, what are you talking about? What are you discussing? They stood still. Their faces were downcast. They'd lost hope, okay? One of them, named Cleopas, said to Jesus, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? You don't know what's going on here in these days. And Jesus said, what things? And he said about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. He was sure of that. This Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and the people. Then the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since this took place. Some of the women went to the tomb and his body isn't there. Not only is Jesus dead, but his body's not there. We had hoped he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. They become negative. See, they were downcast. We have, as Christians, must stay hopeful in everything. So how do we do that? How do we stay hopeful? Well, we remember God's word. We remember God's word. First of all, in the negatives, our hope is not based on earthly people. Our hope is not based on earthly people. How many of you remember in Lamentations, the book written by Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a prophet. He wrote one of the books in our Bible. He saw with his own eyes the Babylonian army besiege Jerusalem and destroy the city and plundered the city and the temple, burned the temple and the palace. He saw this. But yet he wrote, I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them and my soul's downcast within me. He literally saw his world destroyed before him. He says in verse 21 of chapter 3, yet even though I saw those negative things and I'm so downcast, this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. He sat for a moment and he thought to himself, he became realistic because he got his mind in order. He said, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The King James Version says, I will hope for him. Look at what he's saying. Even though things seem so negative, his whole world was destroyed, he made a mental note that he was not going to turn away from the Lord. He was going to wait for the Lord to deliver him. His hope was truly in the Lord. He says the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He goes on to say, men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he'll show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. He does not unwillingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. In other words, what Jeremiah is saying, though, is that even though God might allow negative things to happen, he is ultimately going to bring it around to be positive, a good thing in our life. You see, that he's not going to allow these things forever. He's going to show compassion and change the situations. Our hope is not based on earthly people and what earthly people do to us. Our hope is in God. In Romans chapter 15, as Paul writes to the believers in Rome, he says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, hope comes from having the Holy Spirit inside us. Because the Holy Spirit is not a negative thing, it's a positive thing in our lives, trying to influence us positively and give us hope, reminding us in our heads, God's in control. That our hope isn't based on earthly people, it's based on a God who's above and beyond things of this earth. Secondly, our hope is not based on the here and now. Everybody gets so wrapped up in the here and now. It's all about here. It's all about now. It's all about today. You've got to have it today. Well, this offer is only today. If you don't take it, you lose it. Paul told the Corinthians, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. You see, our hope is in this life, but it's also in what's to come yet and what God is to provide. So it's not based on earthly people, and it's not based on the here and now. Our hope is based on the fact that, yeah, even though we have to suffer in this life, things are going to be better when we're in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Paul told the Romans, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. The writer of Titus says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He's talking about Jesus. God's grace giving us Jesus. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us, to purify for himself a people that are his very own. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with authority. Why? Because God's grace in Jesus Christ has been given to us to purify us and make us his people. And that will come to fruition, not only now, but in eternity, when the wrong is made right. So our hope is not based on earthly people. It's not based on the here and now. Our hope is future, a future expectation that something's going to take place. And we know it is because we know God has promised it. Now comes the positives. Our hope is based on our standing with God through his covenant of grace. I'm going to say that again. Our hope is based on our standing with God through his covenant of grace. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Several words there really jump out at us, talking about God's grace. First of all, we've been justified through Jesus and through our faith in Jesus Christ. Because we've been justified, that gives us peace with God. We can be at peace in our hearts rather than getting all worked up and all wound up about things and all just we go off the deep end because we've lost hope. We've lost our focus. Our minds are just reeling rather than saying, no, wait a second. I can have peace because I've been justified and I've gained access before God. And I stand in a state of grace. Folks, I want you to understand something. The grace we've been given by God puts us in a position now. We stand in a position of grace. We stand in a position of justification. We are God's children now. You see, we have God's blessings now. The Holy Spirit lives in us now. So we don't have to spend so much time worrying about, am I saved? Am I going to heaven? I don't know. Well, gee, I certainly hope so, as if it's wishful thinking. Well, I don't really know. We can't know. Yes, we can. The Bible over and over again tells us as Christians, we stand in a state of grace. We are identified as God's children through Jesus. And Paul says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God isn't something that we're going to see when we get there or we're going to experience in heaven. The glory of God's all around us. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Where is the glory of God, people say? It's all around us. It's all around us. It's in the creation, as Paul said in Romans, so that there's no excuse for anybody to say, well, I don't know God. I never knew God. He never revealed himself to me. It's all around us. It's in the things God created. It's in the people he puts in our lives. It's in the places that he takes us and shows us. You see. And not only is our hope in the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Wow, I rejoice in my future hope, but I'm supposed to rejoice in my sufferings now? That's hard to do. But what happens as we go through our sufferings, rejoicing that I have a God of hope, I have hope that God's going to do something here and reveal himself. You see, our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because God's poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In other words, hope is of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is based on our standing with God through his covenant of grace. We have been justified. We have peace. We have access by faith into God's grace. And we rejoice in hope of a future glory. And we also boast in our expectations based on what's been done for us. See. And we rejoice in our present sufferings. The King James Version says we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. We don't know what God's oftentimes doing or why he's allowing those afflictions or tribulations in our lives, but we know one thing. He's doing something positive in us. He's producing something positive in us. I don't want to be comforted by somebody who's never been through what I'm going through. How can someone sit and comfort me that's never been in my shoes? You see. And I believe Paul writes in one of the letters to the Corinthians something about God allows these present tribulations and sufferings so that we might help others in the future as God carries us through them. I know that whatever God leads me through, he's going to carry me. Whatever he leads me to, he's going to carry me through. Why? So that someday down the road, maybe I can help to carry someone else through that same situation. I'm going to make a confession here this morning. When I meet with a group of young people, young teenagers, and they're struggling with things and they're asking me the questions that they're wrestling with in their world, you see, I can honestly stand there and tell those teenagers, every single thing that you're doing right now and you're involved in right now, good and bad, I have been involved in and I know exactly what it's going to do to your life. And they look at me like I'm from the moon. You see, because I'm not a saint because I'm a good person. I'm a saint because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what saints are, by the way. Why does God allow me to go through the tribulations in my life and the things that I've done and the things that I've been through so I can sit with someone and I can empathize with them, not sympathize, but empathize with them and give them the hope that God's given me, that this life isn't all there is. This isn't what it's about. It's about a future hope and a future glory, a glory and a hope that God says things are going to be better. Our tribulations produce hope, expectations of God, knowing that God will not disappoint us because we're his children. And we know this because we see in the pages of the Bible how God has offered a covenant to those who hope in him. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 15, everything that is written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. How many times do we reach for this as the first thing when we are downcast and we've lost hope? This is the first place we should go because this is the ultimate revelation of God in our lives today, that we go to his word. And when we go to his word, we find out that our hope isn't based on earthly people or earthly things. It's not based on the here and now. Our hope is based on our standing with God through his covenant of grace. Did the people of Israel always obey God? No. But did God always save them? Yes, when they trusted in him. Because they were his people through the covenant of grace. Secondly, the second positive is our hope is based on God's character. We see how he directs and protects his people and brings them back to renew their strength. Remember in Isaiah chapter 40. To hear quickly, and the writer tells us, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. You see, why are you so negative, Israel? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Why? Because of God's character, of who God is. Secondly, our hope is strengthened by our practices. Though we're not saved by our works, our hope is actually strengthened by our character, our practices. The writer of Hebrews says, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. So see, drawing near to God encouraging one another, meeting together as we do on Sunday mornings, strengthens our hope. We can sit with one another. We can cry on each other's shoulders. We can even say, I don't know how you feel, but I'm here for you. What can I do? It strengthens our hope. That's who we are as Christians. It's what we do. Lastly, our hope is secure. It is based on our standing with God through the covenant of grace. It is based on God's character. It is strengthened by our practices. And lastly, our hope is secure in God's promises. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. See, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us, that's the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we may be encouraged. We have this hope. We have this hope that's secure in God's promises. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, because it enters the sanctuary behind the curtain in the presence of God where Jesus went before us and has entered on our behalf. God made a promise to Abraham that people of faith would be truly Abraham's children, and God would bless them. God promised Abraham he was going to have so many descendants, and through Abraham the whole world was going to be blessed. Speaking of Jesus Christ coming. That means Jew and Gentile. That means you and I. And that's what we take hold of, the hope that's offered to us, that encourages us. And that's our anchor that's firm and secure for us. Our hope's not based on earthly people or earthly things. It's not based on the here and now. Our hope is based on our standing with God through his covenant of grace. It is based on God's character. And it is strengthened by our practices and is secured in God's promises. Only when we put our hope in God will the end be positive. God's will is not negative because God is not negative. And if God is positive, how can he will anything for his people but positive things? Our hope as Christians is anchored in an unchanging God who never leaves his people nor forsakes them and is a very present help in times of trouble. We his people, through faith, we the children of Abraham, have his word, his oath, his covenant, his blood. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When I can't even see Jesus present, we still trust in him and his grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil, because on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. May we stay hopeful and not negative as Christians. May we not have wishful thinking, but may we have positive hope based on our standing with God, God's character, our practices, and God's promises, so that we may not lose hope. Let's pray.